You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Beginning.
Monday warrior, me means right. Today's Tom Sawyer, me means right.
Beginning. right. It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Bruce Birch Radio Program for this Friday, September the 1st, 2006. Man, am I glad to be back with you again this afternoon. It's been a rainy, cold day today. It got all the way down to 64 here in North Carolina. On the back end of Tropical Storm Ernesto. Yes, Ernesto. I only wish that we had an attorney general that was named Ernesto, because Ernesto reminds me, the name itself kind of reminds me of some strange ABBA song. I don't know, some sort of association there. I don't know. Glad to have you again. Glad to have you aboard with me this afternoon. If you want to get in on the show today, as you heard at the top of the hour, you can call 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me if you are so inclined and you want to do that. You can email me by sending it to Bruce at Bruce Birch, and that's B-U-R-C-H, Bruce at BruceBirch.com. And I also have a blog site over at BruceBirch.com with a show post and that kind of thing. If you want to comment or if you want to be notified, you can register and it'll send you the show post to your email address when I put it up every afternoon. Now, getting on to the program, I've got a number of things I want to cover today, but the phone line is already lit up, and I want to go ahead and take this call out of the gate on our free speech phone lines here on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Our good friend David from Maine is on line one. Dave, how are you doing today, man?
Good evening, Bruce. I'm calling about the news I just heard, which was about the Mike Malloy firing.
And, are you just now hearing about it, Dave?
Yeah, I just got out of my cave, my hyperbaric Michael Jackson chamber. I mean, I wasn't really paying attention to the news as far as, like, when I went to, like, Daily Coast and Buzzsplash, it's not going to be there, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So I just heard it because of I went to 911blogger.com.
Okay.
And this is exactly what I want to talk about. I believe that the reason why Mike Malloy, this might be a stretch, but why he was canned was because when you put Webster Tarpley on the air, he gave him a whole 3 hours. And that might not seem something to somebody, but here's the thing that a lot of people don't realize. When you distinguish a web of theorists and alternative theorists, and you look to their web and people they associate with, if you associate with a leaning group, for example, an anti-Semitic group that it seems that Webster Tarpley was associated with, you start to have friction, probably maybe with some of the investors on board who were looking at the advertisers and worried that this could come out later on if Malloy continued to stay on. Because as we know, there were several different people, pundits and op-eds, who this was their bi-monthly feature or something to talk about Air America. This was their, I wouldn't call it a basket shot. You know, not like a triple or not from the 3-point line, but you know what I mean?
They're just
to shoot a 2-pointer or whatever. And I look at it and I think to myself, do the people realize when you push on these types of gates, the people that you bring in with, and I'm not an elitist. I'm telling you that when they looked at the association that Mike Malloy started having on the show, and when he went on Alex Jones, they started to get worried because they might have bring in the attack dogs of the anti-Semitic view. And I just wanted to get your viewpoint on that.
Well, Mike Malloy himself did an interview yesterday afternoon on the Christine Kraft Show, which is on a radio station out of Sacramento, California. And apparently during the interview, it was going on at the same time my show was on the air, but there were some folks who were talking about it in the chat room as it was going on.
Right.
And I was able to go out and read a sort of a mini transcript also of the interview. Mike himself believes that he was probably canned over the 9/11 issue and over also his unwillingness to toe the line with the Israel-Lebanon conflict. And, you know, I mean, you know, in all the times that I heard him, and I remember driving back, I was coming back from the Taking Back America conference in Washington back in June.
Right.
And, you know, I had just gotten off the air and, you know, had loaded all the equipment and was driving back to North Carolina, was listening to Mike on XM. And one of the things that he was saying, he made it very clear during his and this was in the middle of the, you know, this is when it was just starting. The whole conflict was really just sort of getting fired up.
Right.
And he was talking about the deaths, and he was talking about the children that were dying and the innocent people that were being killed, you know, as a result of that conflict, and how much, you know, how stupid it was. I mean, you know, I didn't notice that he took a side, except for he took the side of the innocents. And
right.
So, you know, I mean, my own experience listening to him wasn't so much that he, I mean, you know, he did, I'm sure that he probably talked about the sort of out of whack response, you know, one Israeli gets killed, let's kill 400 Lebanese, you know. I'm sure he talked about that a lot, but... you know, I dare say, and this is what he said, was that he felt like his termination resulted from his stance on 9/11 and his stance on the Israel-Lebanese conflict. And I also have it on a reliable source who backed up that same assertion, who is independent of Mike but knows a lot of the same people.
Now, here's the thing that a lot of 9/11 alternative theorists should realize. Well, by having Webster Tarpley for 3 hours on the air did nothing for your cause. It just inflated your ego. Because basically, everyone had heard of what Webster Tarpley was talking about. And he was reciting talking points. He might have made two or three different points along the line. He was given 3 hours of radio time. And my thing is this, is that a lot of these people need to realize, who are these alternative theorists, that just because they don't give you 4 or 5 hours on the air, or even an hour on the air, doesn't mean they're keeping the truth out. It just means it was over a saturation, and they really got nothing from it, except maybe that they helped. Now they get mad at this, except maybe that they helped get Mike get canned.
Well, you know, so what I'm hearing you tell me, David, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that you feel like that that Mike probably should not have given him as much time?
No. I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about how these alternative theorists they push the radio host, and it's like peer pressure. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's not Mike's fault necessarily. It's the people who constantly want somebody on, and they don't understand when you have somebody on, he better have a clean association. And I know that's hard to do, and I know a lot of the left doesn't understand that. But you have to have a clean association. And if you're tied with anti-Semitic groups, you're cooked in these days and age. You're cooked. You're literally done for. That's why nobody really wanted to touch Tarpley on the other side of the aisle. That's why. I mean, of course it was the demolition and things like that. But when you are associated, I don't care if it's a long-distance association of anti-Semitic. But if you are in some way, I forget the guy's name, LaRouche or something, but
Lyndon LaRouche, yeah.
Yeah. The problem is it doesn't matter what you think personally about Jewish people or Jewish culture. What matters is your association. That's the bottom line.
I would tend to agree with you. I'm not a LaRouche follower by any stretch of the imagination, okay?
Right.
I have read some of the stuff that he's written, and there are some very salient points. I think, and everybody, to a certain degree, has you know, makes salient points in the middle of other stuff that you would think is completely bat crap crazy. But you know, the bottom line here, I would venture to guess, you know, that the bottom line with this is that the show content that he was delivering
mm-hmm.
was in opposition with certain investors. Air America said it was a financial decision. That's probably not too far from the truth. It was probably very much that someone or a group of people approached them and said, if you continue to carry this program, we're either going to cut funding or we're going to withdraw funding we were going to give you.
But what doesn't make sense about it is they knew what they were getting when they got Mike Malloy. You could go through his archives, or you could read a press release, or you could read some of his quotes. You knew that you weren't going to get that kind of high, conservative, middle-of-the-road, moderate advertising. You knew it, but still, they put him on the air. And this is my question to you, Bruce. It's like, if you know all that, does it make sense that they come up with a finance reason for advertising? Doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't make sense to me either. I mean, I think, but see, the other part of that, too, is you have to think about who owns the radio stations around the country. And by and large, it's not liberals. Okay.
And if he
or anyone else who is a liberal broadcaster starts touching a nerve that and it becomes too raw, guess what happens? It gets pulled off. And as a result, Mike was pulled off a number of stations, including the station where in Atlanta where he originated from. That's a cold hard reality about today's world. While we were, you know, trumpeting whatever we were trumpeting in the 70s and 80s on the left, the right went out and bought the media.
Well, I mean, look what they did with Mark Maron. They hung that guy out to dry. They said they were going to get – remember? They said they were going to give him a program in the morning. They stuck him on the 1 a.m. slot. They took him away from what was really a good show, Morning Sedition. They took him away. And they had the nerve to say, we're going to put you back on the air. And they put him, they moved him to California. Well, that's where he broadcasts now, California. He has a 1 a.m. slot for Eastern Coast. And it doesn't make any sense. They said they were going to put him on the air in January. They haven't done that. And he's stranded there. And to me, there's an obvious slant of like, well, we can't even let a radical humorist on the air. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, you know, and the bottom line here is that it's happened. You know, so what do we? You know, so you know, and I know that you just heard about it, but you know, he's really actually. If you go to his website, David, at MikeMalloy.com, you'll see, you know, what he's specifically written about the situation.
Now, I have a suggestion. So, are you guys thinking of taking him on for the 10 o'clock slot?
I can't answer that.
Oh, really, it's contracts and obligations.
I can't answer that. Yeah, that's something that obviously is a business decision that happens at a much higher level than me. So,
I know. I also have another thing, but I don't know if I'm going to hear the break or something. I have another subject that I...
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do that. Let's take our break then, Dave, and then when we come back, we'll hit your other point, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Sounds great. All right, you're listening to the Bruce Burch radio program on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get on the show today, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. You can email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. I'll be right back.
Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Let's go back to the phones, and we are joined by Beauregard T. Clampett, I'm told, on line one.
Hi there, Bob.
Oh, Mr. Clampett, how are you, sir?
The sponsor, you all have had a ruckus on the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on this subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
Son, you catch on quick, I tell you. You're very quick, very quick. But I did want to just, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I have to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
We won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Bob Kincaid weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good man underground.
Head On.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 24 minutes past the hour. We got the show started off pretty hot with our friend Dave from Maine. Dave, you back with us?
Yes, I am, Bruce.
Okay. I did, you know, there was a question that came up in the chat room, and I know you had another point that you wanted to make, but right. I thought this bared asking you.
Yeah.
What specifically was it about Webster Tarpley that was anti-Semitic? Or did you say anti-Semitic?
I think what people need to realize is if you're going to play the game of the right-left association, where you find somebody who's a friend of somebody, a friend of somebody who's anti-Semitic, and that's what liberal groups do from time to time. We have to look at it in the same way. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And I would just like to add that the thing that people have to realize is it's not so much about gatekeeping about 9/11 or anything like that. What it has to do with is you have to find a clean sheep. I'm sorry, but it's that simple. You got to find a clean sheep. And Tarpley doesn't have that clean association. I'm sorry. I know that's going to tick off a lot of people, and it might tick off a lot of people listening to this, but you that's what you have to have. And that's not gatekeeping. That's just basic politics 101.
Okay. Well, okay.
Yeah.
All right, I want to. The only thing that I want to say about that is that, you know, in Mike's defense in having him on, while on the one hand, yes, you have to keep, you know, be careful who you're bringing on the air. On the same token, you know, someone who may be an expert at one thing, and has those associations or has a friend who is a friend who is a friend.
Right.
I mean, I really don't. I mean, to me, I think, and you know, like this thing with George Allen yesterday. I don't know if you listened to Bob's show last night, but George Allen, you know, it's one thing to be directly associated with someone.
Right.
Who, you know, and another thing entirely to sort of, you know, have met with at one point, you know, someone who had these ideas. I guess we need to be real careful about being so politically correct with some things that we basically are, you know, isolating our guest list down to nothing, you know.
Right, right.
Because all of us can be radical in our own ways.
I hear you, but the thing that I wanted to point out was I'm not blaming this. I want to make this clear. I'm not blaming this on Mike Malloy. I'm blaming this on the people who take a mascot. You know how this works. They catapult him out there, and he talks for 3 hours or 2 hours or however much time, and it's a bunch of rigmarole connected dots. I mean, I know it sounds. His theory sounds intriguing. It sounds interesting. But when you have somebody like that that is speaking for 2 or 3 hours, and I just think there needs to be more of a understanding of who I don't know. So it's sort of like a balance game. I know people don't want to hear that, but that's the reality of the situation.
Right. Okay. And, well, I think you've done a good job of explaining that. So,
right, it's nothing on Mike. So, I just want to move on to the next topic.
Sure. Please do.
Which is, I was listening on the conservative radio show today, and they had this guy on, Terry Jones, and he's part of Investor News Daily, and I guess they're a nonpartisan group, and he was talking about how they service over 800,000 people around the globe with finance. And investing information. And one of the things he was talking about was how the economy is so politicized on both sides. And one of the things I found interesting about the whole debate was the fact that even though he said he was nonpartisan, and another thing, he wouldn't go on talk shows unless they were not Democratic or Republican, which I found kind of a little bit strange. But he started talking about it, and he said, New York Times politicized the issue of the economy, and he says it has to do more with fiscal money management. And I just wanted to get into your feelings on what you think about the situation, about how people who state the talking point that it has to do with money management and fiscal responsibility, and basically somebody from a nonpartisan type of viewpoint who puts that out there, and I just basically wanted to get your take on the whole thing. Do you think it has, how much of it has to do with money management, and how much of it has to do with responsibility of who we have in political power?
I think the economy is a very fickle thing, and I'm not an economist, so
right.
You know, don't take any economy advice from me, okay?
Right,
do it.
Right.
You may end up in the poorhouse. No, but
yeah.
You know, but it's my feeling that the president and the Congress. And obviously the Fed, you know, the folks who control the interest rates, et cetera,
right,
have equal parts in affecting, if you will, the economy in sometimes in small ways, sometimes in larger ways, depending on how the market, you know, reacts to what they do.
Right.
As far as a nonpartisan group announcing something, I think, or you know, coming out and making some statements about something, I don't know that really, if it has any effect, it's, I would say, fairly momentary. And is not something that would be a lasting, like, you know, I mean, I read today, or I was listening to a radio show on the way in the way to the studio here. And what I was hearing on the radio was that there is a group that has come out and said that the economy actually is in the first beginning stages of a recession. when all of, you know, everyone else, all the other economists are saying, no, that's not true. However, this group has predicted, you know, correctly, four out of the last five recessions, this group has predicted them accurately,
right,
and is saying we are about to enter a recession as a result of the policies of this administration, and as also, you know, based on just, you know, economic indicators.
So what do you
so,
think, so when you mention this, sorry to interrupt you, but when you mention these types of factors that go in line with this, my thing is that what do you say to somebody who says, well, it's because they're spending out of control, it's because they have three or four cars, and it's because they have the advanced cable system and the plasma screen TV, and they start spouting that argument again, that it's all about more so what they're spending rather than their saving, and that there needs to be some responsibility on that end. And I'd just like to get your...
Well, that's an interesting question. I'm not exactly sure if I understand it completely what you're asking me, though.
What is a good way to respond to that? Because there's no way we can prove anything that somebody is spending out of control. We're not in their lives in that intimate type of detail. We don't know how much somebody is spending on personal material wealth. We don't know how many people have the plasma screen TV. I don't. So I'll just say that right now. But, I mean, it's a point where you can't debate, where you just left and you're just, like, nodding your head and you're like, what can you do with this?
Well, you know, and I think that as far as the overall picture of the economy, obviously, if people, you know, the way that our system is set up is that if you buy more, it's good for the economy.
Right.
If you save more, you know, I don't, you know, that may be good. I mean, it depends on how you save it. I mean, I think if you're saving it in a savings account in a bank and you're getting minimal interest on that, that doesn't really have much effect on the economy. However, if you're saving it in, you know, a 401k or a 403b or some other mutual fund, then, you know,
right,
your money is actually out there in the market working whatever, you know, people are, you know, it's put to work to invest in, you know, things like sweatshops and guns and bombs and stuff like that. But,
right,
but you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, so I guess really it's, you know, it's a really tricky, way to look at it, I guess.
Yeah.
Without knowing the specific situation that you're talking about, I guess the best way to put it is to look at it like, if someone, you know, based on the economic system we have now, if someone spends more money, then that is a boom to the economy. It may not be good for them personally, because they may end up, you know, buying a plasma TV and then not being able to pay the rent at the end of the month, you know.
See,
but
the thing that really annoys me about it is, like, we're left listening at the gates. Like, we can't add what it is when someone says, well, you have too many plasma TVs and too many cars and you spend too much money on restaurant bills or whatever it is. And we're just left, like, they talked to some small business owners on the radio and they just put them on the air and they were like, well, I'm doing great. I don't know why everyone's complaining. Goes, you can't swing a dead cat unless you hit the side of a bank. That's what one guy from Louisiana said. I was like, what does that have to do with anything?
I don't know that it has any. That's kind of a bizarre statement, isn't it?
I know, but I guess it's an expression in Louisiana, I guess. I don't know. Or maybe
it's one of those boiling cars. Absolutely. And I also think too that you're going to hear the gamut from the completely, you know, raving, drooling loon on talk radio to the most intelligent callers, of which I consider you to be one.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, you never know what people have in their mind when they're calling you up and, you know, have a topic to share. I do kind of got to hit a break, Dave, and I kind of need to move on. I got some other people waiting right behind you.
No problem. I just wanted to touch on those two topics. I'm glad you gave me a chance to express that.
Absolutely. Dave, it's great talking with you, my friend.
No problem, man. Talk to you later.
Okay, have a good one. That's our friend David from Maine. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will come back to your phone calls. The free speech phone line, 1-877-443-2366. I'll be right back.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. Hey, did you catch Bush's speech to the American Legion on Thursday? It was another warm-up to the Iran war, using some of the very same lines Bush used to whip up a frenzy over Iraq. Just as he called Iraq a grave threat prior to launching that war, he said in Salt Lake City that the world now faces a grave threat from the radical regime in Iran. Just as he fused al-Qaeda and Iraq, so he's fusing al-Qaeda and Iran. Said Bush, the Iranian regime arms, funds, and advises Hezbollah, which has killed more Americans than any terrorist network except al-Qaeda. Get it? Your Pavlovian reaction to al-Qaeda is still supposed to make you salivate for war against whoever Bush links it to in a single sentence. Just as he denounced Iraq for sponsoring terrorists, so he does now with Iran. Just as he denounced Iraq for denying basic human rights to millions of its people, so he does with Iran. Just as he denounced Iraq for pursuing weapons of mass destruction, phantom as they were, so he decries Iran's pursuit of a nuclear weapon. And just as he said it was time for Iraq to make a choice when Bush himself had already chosen war, so he now says it is time for Iran to make a choice. There's no question in my mind whatsoever about Bush's intentions. My only question is whether the American people, and even more, the Congress, will fall for these same propaganda lies again. If they do, that'll be one sorry moment. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Your heart swells, doesn't it, when you really get a chance to make a difference, to save this nation from the criminals who are trying to destroy it. You know we have a chance when we stand together. I'm Bob Kincaid, and I've said for a long time that we need a sustained presence in Washington, D.C. to let the Bush crooks know that we're not going away. What they can ignore for a day, they can't ignore for a week. That moment has come. Join together on the Mall in Washington, D.C. as Camp Democracy sets up and steps in for the long haul. Stay a day, stay a week. If you can't come, help those who can. Go to campdemocracy.org to find out more. We can end the war. We can, if only we will. campdemocracy.org. This is what real patriotism feels like.
All right, welcome back to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's about 39 minutes past the hour, almost 40 minutes past the hour here in the eastern United States where I'm broadcasting from, and it looks kind of overcast where I am. It's been kind of chilly today. It's actually warming up outdoors now, finally. Woo, 64 today. Gosh, in September 1st. All right, let's get back over to our free speech phone lines. If you want to get in on the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. We got a new caller on the line, Vince. Vince, how you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. How are you today, Bruce?
I'm doing fantastic. Glad you asked, and glad to have you aboard.
I'm glad to be here. I'm actually a Air America refugee.
Okay.
Due to the whole Malloy situation. I wanted to call and comment about the point the previous caller made. I don't pretend to know what all's going on with the Air America situation. I've just been trying to keep an eye on message boards and whatnot. But if it is a matter of Malloy's alleged closeness with, you know, a so-called anti-Semitic group, then I have to say that really what it boils down to is he's nothing more than a victim of modern-day McCarthyism. The label of anti-Semitic in today's is my generation's version of being called a communism back a communist back then.
That's
you know,
an interesting
if you say,
comment. Yeah,
if, I mean, well, it seems to me that if you say anything that is in any way, shape, or form anything less than glowing praise of the state of Israel, then you automatically get this, well, you must have something against the Jews. No, I don't have something against the Jews. I have a problem with anybody, be it my country or any other country, running around and killing people.
I would tend to agree with you. And actually, in the middle of everything that's been happening in that conflict, I'm glad that you're tuning in now. One of the things that we do here on the Head On Radio Network is with Bob and myself and the other hosts is we try to present the facts and let the facts fall where they fall. I mean, the bottom line in what happened in that last conflict is that there certainly was an unproportional response to what seemed to be, a fairly innocuous occurrence. Am I going to get labeled an anti-Semite? I could be talking about the French and it would go into one ear and out the other. But I think because of the reality that we as a nation, or at least the government of our nation, has had such a close tie to Israel, I think there's a fear that any sort of backlash against that country could happen, through the media such as this, and so people try to control it. I think based on what I heard yesterday, I believe Mike himself actually believes that his views on that conflict contributed to his termination.
Well, the thing that drives me nuts is that Air America itself is staying, extremely quiet about the matter. They still have Mike's information up on their homepage. They haven't made a statement one way or the other to it. They've also, you can tell pretty much just from the tone of some of their other hosts and whatnot, that the network executives have pretty much been like, don't talk about this. So I would be interested in hearing what, because like I said, I don't have all the facts. I just have what I've been hearing and whatnot. I'd like to hear the other side of the story, but they're being pretty quiet about it.
Sure. Well, they may be scared of a lawsuit. Who knows what the reasoning is there. And actually, I know that in the past when radio stations have changed formats or dropped hosts, et cetera, the SOP, standard operating procedure, tends to be that they just don't talk about it. They don't want to get into the internal politics of what happened. I think Mike's assessment is probably closer to anything else.
Well, I think they're making a huge mistake. I know that there is a petition out there that has already got 6,000 signatures since Wednesday and is still, going. It's probably a lot higher than that now. I know that I myself was planning on signing up for the Air America Premium service to support them, and I know a lot of other people who either did or were planning to and have now canceled or will not contribute. And I know most of them are probably coming over here, and I'm personally encouraging everyone I know about that, and right now I'm just kind of in the wait-and-see mode. But I basically just wanted to make the comment about, the whole anti-Semite label thing. That's pretty much all I had to say, and I'll go ahead and get off because I know there's probably people behind me.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Vince, and I hope you stick around even after Mike finds himself a new home.
Well, with any luck, maybe he'll find a home here. Head-On Network.
Well, I can't. I can tell you what I personally think, but I really don't want to do that right now because I know that they're, that like I said, those decisions are made a whole lot higher than my pay grade. So.
And they probably wouldn't want you blabbing about it even if you knew. So, I'll go ahead and head off. It was nice talking to you, and I appreciate you guys. Basically telling it like it is. Like I said, if I wanted to listen to, watered down radio or TV, I'd still be listening to NPR and CNN. So that's really all I had to say.
Well, glad to have you aboard, Vince, and thanks for being a new listener.
All right. Have a good day, man.
You too. All right. As a new caller, Vince, fantastic. Glad to have you aboard. Now, let's see here. Let's go ahead and take Virginia on line one, if you would.
Hey, how you doing?
Virginia, how are you today?
I'm all right. I'm so glad y'all are there. I'm also an America refugee. We're gonna call ourselves refugees, like the poor people in New Orleans.
So would that make the Head On Radio Network your lifeboat?
No, but I'm really happy to have found it, because when I was searching all the blogs to find out what happened to Mike, I found y'all. Someone said, you know, there's good radio over here, and I hit the link, and oh, thank goodness. So I'm really glad
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we're glad to have you. Now, yeah. I think you had a comment about economics?
Well, yeah. I mean, also Mike later on, but for the young fella who called a little while ago on the economics question, where they're blaming all of us for running around with our plastic and being all jolly and flipping plastic for even a cup of coffee and everything. I'm almost 50 years old, and I remember my mother was an immigrant, and in those days, working in factories and, you know, where immigrants work, they wouldn't let no unions form. Minimum wage and horrible conditions and all that stuff, and saved $10,000 and built her own house when she back in our country and went home when she was retired. And now it's very embarrassing. We're much more educated. We have a lot more. We make a lot more money, and we spend it faster than we make it. But we have part of that is our fault, but part of that is also, I remember when Ronald Reagan gave us the plastic. It was when all he was yep. busting up all the unions, and he what did he say? What did he figure out? If you give these people, these poor working people, credit, they'll use it just like rich people will, but they won't have the means to back it up, and then when they are tied to a debt, they're not going to be hell-raising in the streets and calling strikes and unionizing. They're going to work their butts off to pay off that debt. And they're going to shut up, and they're going to behave. And that's what they gave us the credit to make us behave. They gave us the credit to make us think we were upper class when we weren't. They induced this behavior. They wanted this behavior, especially because they wanted to send all our production overseas. And we're nothing but a consumer society now. That's all we are. They blame us that we haven't been shopping enough when the economy goes down.
Mm-hmm.
But now in debt, drowning and can't pay off anything.
I know.
Because they refuse to pay us because we didn't unionize.
Isn't it crazy? They set this trap. Yeah, they turned us into a circular firing squad.
That's a good word for it. Oh, how scary is that picture? And that's exactly how it feels, and it's so embarrassing to be
not only that, but your parents
to be able to work and make so much more money, and it's worthless. It's utterly worthless because you can't save. And they made it so you couldn't make any money saving. Because what could you possibly? The only way you could make money is to gamble on the stock market. They turned us into gamblers and borrowers, and they turned in, and they made themselves into loan sharks. And this is what we have.
Well, and what's interesting about it is that Virginia is that it's in my view it's sort of a new tech slavery. Because what happens is if you look at the old sharecropping thing exploitative form of labor that popped up after slavery here in the United States
after Reconstruction, especially because we were coming up in the world. So this is why I say this has been done. If you look at what they did to black people, to Indian people, this is why I tell folks, you know, it really behooves you to understand all these histories of what America has done already to all kinds of people. This country has killed more languages than any other country in the world with their English only, and their, you know, they won't employ you, they won't rent to you, they won't let you buy anything. I mean, they've created this entire, they've done this before, and it's just like the saying goes, they came for, and now they're coming to you. That's all it is. This is what they did with redlining. This is what they did with sharecropping. This is, you know, all of it in, you know, the company town.
Oh, yeah.
The whole nine yards. So they are the ones behind all these credit card companies. These credit card companies fund the politicians, and we pay them to do
it. Isn't that crazy?
To screw
us. We pay them. We pay,
right.
All that wonderful interest rate money goes right to line the pockets of a politician who's going to vote against your best interest.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's why I think credit cards.
That's the number one reason to burn them. That's the number one reason to burn them. And just say, you know what? Think of your grandparents. Think of the Depression. Do not feel deprived. Stop shopping.
There you go. Well, and that's, you know, I tell my children, you know, credit cards are immoral.
Oh, they are. What they are supporting is our destruction and the destruction of people all over the world. I mean, we don't want this kind of economy to become the standard economy. It's not good for people. It's not good for the earth. It's just not good. You don't need a consumer society. We need to produce something. They're making money on the market as gamblers. Nothing is being produced. The whole thing is so immoral. So when people sit there and make guilt trip you, I'm going to say, yes, it's like putting more nicotine in my cigarettes, okay? I was just looking for a fun drag, and I became a junkie. Well, Ronnie Reagan gave me a piece of plastic, and I became a credit junkie, and it destroyed my life. So, it's perfectly understandable.
So now you're a recovering credit junkie.
Oh yes, and it's like you cannot imagine how well and how good you can feel buying and owing so much less. I mean, it's just. Necessity did it out of a disability, but and I still am traumatized over the whole thing because they don't care. When you get disabled and you can't pay your credit card, they add penalties to late fees. So it's total loan sharking. You will end up, you know, dragged into court for twice as much as what you owed. They don't care. And, you know, they can't take blood from a stone, but that's your record gone, and you just have to learn to live without it. And they're doing that to so many people who don't come back and bite them in the behind. Because folks are all burning up their cards or getting absolutely debilitated with working so much to try to pay them. And they're biting themselves in the behind. This new legislation to end the bankruptcy claim is going to bite them in the behind because so many people are giving it up. And we do have to get off of it. We have to get off of it because the whole thing was intended to fund all this immoral stuff, like you're saying. And it's totally
which is all the more reason that we get a Democratic House and Senate this fall. We got to have them.
It's kind of happening, you know, but it's like back on this issue about Israel that even Mike is paying so much for, and anybody who says anything pays so much for. A lot of us are not very enthusiastic about voting. I've got Feinstein and Boxer and Pelosi in California. Mm-hmm. They don't come up against Israel. They won't come up and say we need to cut their military funding. I don't even know why we're giving them aid. They make, like, you know, an average of $24,000 a year, which is like wealth in the Middle East where they are.
Right.
They are the richest nation in the area. As far as individual citizens are concerned, not like the other ones where it's just the sheiks and stuff. And they have the strongest military, the fourth largest military in the world. The fourth largest.
I know.
That means us, China, Russia, and Israel. And we're still putting more and more money into it, and more people are feeling like it's wrong. We've corrupted them. We're using them as pawns. When I criticize Zionism, I'm not criticizing Jews. I love Jews. I'm a New Yorker. I'm civil rights. I love Jewish people. They fought like hell for Jewish rights, for civil rights for everybody. And they've done all kinds of righteous, you know, leaders of great movements. And you know, I call them my brothers and sisters. I don't differentiate and stuff except to honor all that they've been put through. And all the, you know, the genocide they were put through. I say, yeah, you know, I'm part Indian, and I understand what your people have been through and stuff. But I think America's using the Jewish people And I think they're using them to just sit there and be pawns in the midst of all that insanity. And it's not good for them. It's not good for us. It's not good for anybody. And you can't say anything. And I can't get Feinstein, Pelosi, or Boxer to stand up and say anything. And I'm not, Feinstein's up for re-election. And I didn't vote for her in the primary, and I'm not voting for her now because I don't want this to continue. This messes up everything else.
Yeah.
It's such a huge, huge, multi-billion, trillion-dollar. It's trillions of dollars when you think of all the armaments that we sell to all the players. And nothing is going to change if we can't stop that. Nothing's going to change if we can't stop that. Our main business, we want to make cars, we want to make computers, we want to make houses, and the main thing we make is guns and missiles. That's the reality. We're going to make, we're going to make rockets to go to Mars. Honey, there's going to be more plans to, like, do their military, space defense in that project. That's what they focus on. That's what we have to fight is militarism. Period.
Virginia, I've got to go because it's at the top of the hour. But I do absolutely appreciate your call, and I'm glad you're aboard with us.
Thanks for all your time, honey. I'm really happy to be with y'all.
Well, do stay tuned in. Bob Kincaid, who comes up next, is he's a firebrand. I think you'll like him. Have you heard of him yet?
Right on, man. Well, loving you from coast to coast. You be good.
There you go.
Thanks for being there. Later on.
Okay. Thank you, Virginia. Have a great day. And that was Virginia from California calling in and letting us know the word on the street. Thank you so much, Virginia. I've got an interview right after the top of the hour that I'm going to do, and then I'll get back to the phone calls. I know that there are some folks on hold waiting. So if you want to hold, that's fine. If you want to call back after the guest, that's fine too, whichever way you would prefer. I really would like to, if you want to hold, please do hold, though, because the interview that we're going to have I've been doing a series of interviews with hurricane victims in various places, and today we've got on a couple from Florida who are going to talk about what happened to them and their experience with Hurricane Wilma. So please do hold, because I really want to get to you and get to your phone call. You are listening to the Bruce Birch radio program on the Head On Radio Network. It's about 1 minute till the top of the hour. We'll hear the news, and when we come back, we'll be back with our guest. I'll be right back.
Quality News Network at the top of the hour.
This is the Quality News Network. In Vienna, a report by the International Nuclear Watchdog Agency released today states that Iran has no signs of freezing its uranium enrichment despite Western demands to do so by today's UN deadline. This report paves the way for UN Security Council sanctions against the country. However, there will be no action taken until a meeting next week between a top European diplomat and Iran's atomic chief. Across Iraq today, a series of violent attacks, including two car bombs and rocket or mortar attacks, left at least 51 people dead within a half hour. The majority were killed in a Shiite part of Baghdad. Close to 200 were wounded. Also today, Iraq's prime minister announced Iraqi forces will take over control in a second southern province, putting the Iraqis in charge of security in 2 out of 18 total provinces around the country. In Salt Lake City today, President Bush gave a speech at an American Legion gathering of 12,000 veterans. He predicted victory in the war on terror and compared the fight against Islamic fundamentalism to the battle against Nazism and communism. In Jerusalem today, a Palestinian gunman seeking political asylum entered the British embassy and remained holed up inside for several hours. The situation ended when Israeli police commandos stormed the building. In southern Lebanon today, a portion of the region has been transferred to the Lebanese army and international troops by the Israeli army. In Sweden, at an international donors conference today, more than $940 million in aid has been pledged by countries around the world to help rebuild Lebanon. In Damascus today, the UN Secretary General continued his visit to the Middle East by meeting with top Syrian officials. This weekend, he will go to Tehran. In Gaza today, for the first time in several weeks, Palestinian militants fired up to 10 rockets into Israel. In fighting today in the West Bank, Israeli troops killed a Palestinian militant. The UN Security Council has voted to create a peacekeeping force in Sudan's Darfur region. However, the AP reports the Sudanese government has rejected giving the UN authority over peacekeepers in their country. Along Mexico's Pacific coast, up to 10,000 people are evacuating because of Hurricane John, now a Category 3. Along the North and South Carolina coast, hurricane watches are in place as Tropical Storm Ernesto regains strength, and California will soon be the first state in the nation to have broad caps on greenhouse gas emissions.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The Commerce Department reports that consumer spending in July rose 0.8%. That's the largest amount in 6 months. Also, incomes last month were up 0.5 percentage point. In August, retail stores reported solid sales. Merchants such as Walmart, Federated, and Limited Brands did well with back-to-school shoppers. The Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said he expects America's productivity to keep growing solidly. LG Electronics and Sharp project a 20 to 30% drop in prices for flat LCD television sets next year because of overproduction and cost reductions. Panasonic will begin selling a 103-inch television set, the world's largest, for $80,000. The Labor Department says there was a slight drop last week in the number of Americans filing for jobless benefits, about 216,000. Ford Motor is considering the sale of its luxury Aston Martin brand to bring in money for its turnaround efforts. And in Norway, two Edvard Munch paintings stolen from an Oslo museum by gunmen 2 years ago have been recovered by police. The two masterpieces, The Scream and Madonna, were said to be in better than expected condition. Light sweet crude settled at $70.26 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange today. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 2 points, the NASDAQ was also down 2, and the S&P 500 was flat. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov. It's now 5.
It's time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce. Thank you.
That's right. You're back on the Bruce Burch radio program. It's about 6 minutes past the hour here on Conversation Radio. This is the Head On Radio Network for those of you who are just joining us. I am on the air every day from 5 until 7 p.m. and also replayed Tuesday through Friday on radiopower.org over there at Shelby LaPrey's site. She does a wonderful job in making sure that the progressive message is broadcast far and wide. And so you can also hear my show over there at Radio Power every morning from 8 until 10 a.m., a replay of the previous day's show. So Tuesday you'll hear Mondays. Wednesday you'll hear Tuesday you'll hear now I'm confused. Tuesday you'll hear Mondays. Wednesdays you'll hear Tuesday's afternoon show. And greetings to all of you Radio Power folks. Glad to have you aboard, and it's wonderful that our show is now on that streaming network. Fantastic. Amazing. All right. On the line with me now, I've got Jeff. Let's see here. I'm sorry, Jeff Still on line one, who actually is a victim of a hurricane, Hurricane Wilma. And Jeff, are you with me there?
Yes, I am.
Jeff, I'm saying your name correctly, right?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Okay. Okay. I just, you know, I'm really glad to have you on with me this afternoon. I've been doing some interviews this week with folks who have gone through hurricanes and who have come out the other side and have had to deal with more on the backside of the hurricane than probably they thought they were going to. First of all, tell me about your experience with, this was in 2005. This was one of the infamous five hurricanes that hit Florida that year, isn't it?
Yes, this was Hurricane Wilma that actually hit in the end of October and came up a different way than normal. It came up through the Gulf of Mexico and then across the state of Florida from Naples through Fort Lauderdale and hit us from behind, basically. And, it was like any other storm where we take it serious and we put up storm shutters and, you know, they close the schools for a day and everything. But we never expected what ended up happening with the storm. During the storm,
Were you actually in the home when it hit, or did you evacuate?
Yes, we were actually in the home when it hit. We had put a new roof on about 4 years ago, storm shutters, all the different things that you do to prepare. And so we felt that, you know, the best place for us to be was in the home.
Now, and you also have young children, right?
Yes, I at the time we had a 4-year-old daughter who's now 5 and a 7-year-old son who's now 8. And my wife had found out the week before that she was pregnant with our third child.
Wow. Now, the storm came through, and the damage to the home. What exactly happened? And what was it like? What happened during the storm?
Well, basically, what ended up happening is it lifted the roof up off the moorings and split it down by the garage, and so we had water coming in at 16 different points
wow.
throughout the house during the storm. And it totally caught us by surprise. It sounded like somebody was literally up on our roof bowling. The noise was incredible. And we didn't really realize how bad it was until after the storm when we went outside and we saw that nails were sticking out from the roof. It had actually lifted the nails out, the roof up high enough for the nails to come out and stick out of the house. And then as it started to rain in the next few days, it started flooding again, and we realized that we had a real problem.
Wow. So you had water running down the walls in your house and flooding throughout your home?
Yes.
Incredible.
Yes, even on internal walls where, you know, you would expect no problem. And actually the room where they tell you to go to, which we had set up as our safe room, ended up being our most unsafe room because that's where the roof split, and then there was water coming in through the ceiling and down the walls.
Now, as a result of this, now afterwards, you know, obviously you're a guy, you know, you got a family, young family, and you paid your insurance premiums and you did what you were supposed to do. You know, what ended up happening after the hurricane and you tried to, get things fixed?
Well, that was really where our biggest problems came in. We thought that the storm was going to be our biggest issue. And, it ended up being trying to get in touch with the insurance company after that, trying to get the first adjuster to even come out to our house. He no-showed us a couple of times. When he finally did come out, he said everything was just cosmetic and dismissed it. And actually, to this day, he hasn't even submitted his first report, and that he came out the day before Thanksgiving. So that was 9-10 months ago. We then started trying to get in touch with the insurance company to let them know that every time it rained, we were having more and more problems. Plus, what the first appraiser had told us to do was, because of the fact we didn't have power, we had mold that started growing because of all the water. He said, you know, now that we got power back after 16 days, he said, close the windows and turn the air conditioner on, and the air conditioner will kill the mold. It didn't. It recycled it throughout the house, and we ended up getting it in every single room.
And also ruined your air conditioner, too, I would imagine.
Ruined the brand new air conditioner as well. So we sent to the insurance company faxes and notices and everything in December saying that we couldn't live there anymore. We had a mold hygienist come out and said we couldn't live there. An architect had come by and said that there was too much water damage. And, you know, so formally in writing, we requested that they would help us to find housing. And that was in December, and they finally responded to us in April. On that question. And that was after I had to file with the state Department of Financial Services. And so they've just been, for lack of a better word, they just ignored us.
These insurance companies, now, when you were investigating and, you know, going to buy insurance and that kind of thing, was there any indication that this company might, be a bunch of crooks?
I didn't even think I would have never thought that. I ended up being, I went to an insurance agent that was a Little League football coach with me. And I went through him. He was a insurance broker, and he put me into this firm. And, they were fine taking the premiums and everything until it was time for them to step up to the plate.
Well, and so today, where does this stand today, and what's how are you going to go forward?
Well, what's ended up happening? We've gone through mediation. I requested mediation through the state, which they required. The insurance company sent somebody who had never been to our house. He refused to watch the video we took, and literally said that the only thing that he was doing was that he had actually showed up and that we should be happy that he was there. So after that, we ended up having to hire an attorney because we realized that for us, the only way that we were going to be able to settle this was to go through the civil justice system. And so that's where we are now. We've done that. And as part of working with our attorney, we've decided to get very involved in a grassroots effort that is to make sure that this doesn't happen to other people. That grassroots effort is a petition, a national petition, calling on insurance companies to stop putting their profits over policyholders, and just to be fair and just when they handle claims. And that's online at www.peopleoverprofits.org.
And I actually have a link on to that petition on the front page of my website at brucebirch.com. I put it up yesterday. So, it's peopleoverprofits.org, I believe, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just as a final note here, I wanted to, first of all, I wanted to wish you all the luck in the world and hope that this does come to fruition, and that you're able to collect everything that you're able to. Now, have you notified your Secretary of State there, or do you have an insurance commissioner in Florida that oversees all of this? And
we do. His name's Tom Gallagher, and he's running for governor right now because our governor, Jeb Bush, President Bush's younger brother, is done. And Tom Gallagher is actually being opposed by several other individuals who, because of the fact that Tom Gallagher owned stock in these insurance companies while he was the insurance commissioner. It's just one of those things where you sit there and you scratch your head saying that, he's supposed to be there for us as the insurance commissioner, and yet he's one of the shareholders in these companies, and they're making record dividends to their shareholders.
I don't know any, I don't know much about ethics, but something tells me that there's a conflict of interest there. I mean, I don't know.
That's
crazy.
Yeah.
That's absolutely crazy. Well, Jeff, all the best to Stacy, Jeffrey, Emily, and David, and I certainly hope that you're able to recoup your losses with this, and do stay in touch and let us know how things are going, okay?
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
No problem, and glad to have you on today, and I certainly hope it all works out for you.
Thank you. Have a great night.
All right. Thank you. That was Jeff Still of Florida, who is again engaged in. I had a couple on a guy on yesterday, and Jeff today, and you know what? These insurance companies are not wanting to do the right thing. They're just not wanting to do the right thing. It's a tragedy. It really is. And here's a guy who's got a young family who is trying to do the best he can. He's now living, in his parents' house in one room, in one bedroom, five people. Because of the negligence of the insurance companies. You're listening to the Bruce Burch radio program. If you want to get in on the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. That'll get you into the Head On Radio Network studios in wild, wonderful West Virginia. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get right back to your phone calls. I'll be right back.
Freaks and Harris, Dykes and Ferris, tell me. Sanity. Tax the rich, feed the poor, tell there are no rich no more.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real, but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing at irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. Thank you.
Some dreams are universal. Dreams that inspire us. Multiple sclerosis is a devastating disease that changes lives forever. The National MS Society does more for people with MS than any organization in the world. but we can't do it alone. To get involved, visit us online at nationalmssociety.org or call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. This is why we're here. Because nobody dreams of having multiple sclerosis.
I've seen you in the markets, I've seen you in the streets, and at your political conventions. Talking of your crusade, talking of your nation, and other things too terrible to mention. And you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and ma. I just got one question, and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb? May Jesus would bomb the Syrians.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Burks radio program, where we try to make some sense out of the chicanery in the right-wing disinformation machine. Insanity. That's what happens. You know, the opposite world thinking, oh, it's going real good in Iraq. Well, freedom's on the march. And what happens? 1,600 people were execution-style murdered last month in Iraq. Total of about somewhere near 4,000 people were killed. Yes, it's going quite well for you, isn't it, Mr. Bush? Bush War One, Bush War Two. They got a war for us. They got a war for you. It's 23 minutes. I don't know where that came from. 23 minutes past the hour. We're going to go right back over to our telephone callers. Let's go ahead and hang on a second. Let me pull up the little screen here. Let's take Adrian from the Bronx. Adrian, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing. I'm calling up from the Bronx, New York. I was a listener of Mike. I don't, as a general rule, you know, listen to talk radio. I used to have LIB on as a Caribbean station, and I like Randy Rose. She's nice enough, but I really was, you know, very saddened by Mike. When I tried to turn him on at work last night, he wasn't there, and I know someone who works at another law firm, and she was telling me that they had taken him off. So I you know, you kind of wonder what exactly is happening in our country, because I believe that freedom of speech is as important as defending the country with the military. I mean, this. I understand that maybe some people might have thought he was kind of hot-headed, but he was not a racist. I mean, if you listen to him, or, you know, and I, like you were saying, I was thinking that too, that maybe, because there's like a really weird reaction you tend to get sometimes when you speak against the state of Israel, not even really speaking against the state of Israel, but the government and the policies that they do, specifically with the terrible problem over there with the Palestinians and now with the Iraq war. But in fact, there was a time when speaking against the Iraq war, sometimes here in New York, you know, on my travels at work, that would sometimes even, it was like a hint that might even be anti-Semitic because, you know, Saddam Hussein was supposedly giving money to the suicide bomber's family. And I remember reading someplace it was like a total of 5 or 8 at that. Well, anyhow, I just think that it's, you know, we're really like heading in a dangerous situation. My friend is from Chad, and she was saying it doesn't really sound too far like some of the states in Africa where you have to really watch what you say. When you get to the place where, you know, because, like, I will listen with my earphones, but, you know, because of the atmosphere sometimes that we've, you know, that we have here in America, I wonder if maybe if listening and, you know, I don't really deny my beliefs to anyone, but I try to keep them to myself because it's just something, just like a certain air in America now.
Yes.
That's different than anything that I've noticed in my growing up.
There certainly is. There certainly is, Adrian. And I got to tell you, you know, I live in the South. Okay, I live in North Carolina,
And even though I'm in a fairly progressive city that John Kerry carried this county in the 2004 election, by a fairly sizable margin, nonetheless, what I've noticed is that there seems to be this sort of divide and conquer tactic, used with not only with the media but with individuals as well. I mean, I think we are. It's ingrained in us. Well, if we speak out against the war, we're not patriotic. You know, love it or leave it kind of attitude. And yeah, it's forced a lot of us to sort of keep our mouths closed and say, no, I don't want to go and upset the apple cart. I mean, inherently, I don't think not many people love conflict. Not many people love confrontation. And one of the things that I like to do is wear a shirt that has a big W on it, and then it has a circle and a slash through it, And I wear that around and to the grocery store, and it's interesting because
I have a button like that. That's not not to interrupt. It's not even like New York was a blue state, but
I'm sure.
When you start talking about the state of Israel, like, I mean, who in the world could possibly think that? And killing over 1,000 people in a month's time could be anything but wrong. Oh, I agree it was wrong to kidnap the soldiers and all of that. But I have always been amazed and I know some people who love Mike Malloy, who were Jewish, but they really, really resented him for doing that. One of the people who work in the graphics department in my job, and he was very angry that he would see. And I asked him, you mean to tell me you can't see anything wrong? Well, if they didn't do that, Hezbollah would destroy the state of Israel. I don't know. I really do pray for the state of our country. It's very scary.
Yeah, well, it is, especially when, if you have to have undying devotion despite anyone's actions, that to me is absolutely wrong. And it goes against it goes completely against our principles here in the United States of free speech, of the ability to freely associate with whom we want. I mean, that it's just crazy. To be perfectly honest with you, Adrian, here where I live, I don't know many Jewish folks. Okay, so I can't, I don't run into someone at work who has, there's a lot of Christians, though.
I've noticed that there are a lot of Jewish Americans that genuinely, and they are very nice people, but
sure,
when you
absolutely
try to speak anything, I can't understand why they, as the person was saying who was there before, Jewish people were a great, they were part of the civil rights movement. You can't see that the way these people are being treated is wrong? Well, if they treat them any other way, they will try to destroy the state of Israel. I'm sure there are Arabs out there that do want to destroy it. But, every time you see, more of them are dying on that side. And again, I'm like at a loss to understand why people
right
who seem like sensitive people can't see that murdering 1,000 people in a month is not. And yeah. I don't know. And Mike,
it's insane.
Was, he was sensitive like I did. He was strong and willed. And I just really enjoyed listening to him. And I'm very depressed that he's taken off. I called up Air America. First of all, it's funny because I used to listen to LIB, the Caribbean music, and then Air America came on. I like Randy Rhoads. I'm not crazy about Al Franken. I'm not so good with the centrist business. And,
right.
I don't know. I'm just really put out that he's off the air now. The young lady who I was speaking with told me that they're having Mike Malloy tapes on at night. So, I'll listen to that. But I don't really want, I told them to please cancel my membership. I really am kind of put out with that. A lot of people, he was very popular in the Harlem area because, I was, well, he was, I some of my coworkers worked there, and you know, you gotta wonder what went wrong. Air America was here. He came to New York, and he had, from what we understand, he would be on a couple of more years, and then all of a sudden, it was like snatched right out from under him. But I think that all of this is coming, cutting dangerously close to freedom of expression. And, you know, I live around a lot of immigrants, and these are the signs, you know, that they recognize.
Yeah, and they're not off base either. They, if anyone would know what, well, to coin a term, what fascism is, folks who have come from countries that are you know, very authoritarian would know. You know,
yeah,
so I'd take them at their word.
Yeah, well, they do notice it in Bush, and, you know, it's definitely in this. And it's just, it's really kind of scary because I've, in reading of Holocaust survivors, it was like when you think, well, why wouldn't they go? Why would they stay if that happened? And none of them actually believed it was happening. I guess if you're living in a place all your life, and it starts to change on you, it would be hard to come to terms with the fact that maybe it's time to go. And I, one of the people that I know of who is, you know, she's my mother's friend. I mean, my friend's mother is from Uganda. And she was just saying that, you know, it's like, it's not like an overnight thing necessarily, because she lived out in, she was not near the capital. Mm-hmm. Where Amin's government was, but she said it was little subtle things that creeps up on you, you know, like where she lived, they would be the last to know it anyway. And, but they noticed, you know, people who, then there's the Latino immigrants. I mean, I know someone who told me, they said, wherever Negroponte goes, where Negroponte goes, you know, death squads follow. So it's,
oh, yeah.
And, you know, and she's from Nicaragua. So I, you know, I really do pray for our country and us, too.
Well, I'm absolutely there with you, Adrian. And you know, I think we've got a lot of strides to make. And as Mike has said, I totally agree with him when he says that we have to create a movement, a 30 to 40 year infrastructure building movement to run these rat bastards out and keep them out. You know, but it's going to take that long. It's going to be more than one election cycle. You know, and to build some infrastructure within the progressive community. But
okay.
I absolutely do appreciate your call, and I've kind of
and
got
thank
to
you for letting me take up so much time. But I was so depressed about that.
Well,
but thank you. Very
a whole lot
much.
Of people were. Yes,
okay.
Ma'am. Well, I have a great afternoon.
You too.
Okay. And that was Adrian from the Bronx, from New York. Glad to have you on with us. It's about 35 minutes past the hour. I'm going to take a quick break, and when I come back, I'll get the rest of your phone calls. You are listening to the Bruce Burch Radio Program.
Did you hear? On the radio, did you try to read the writing on the wall? Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. Donald Rumsfeld has a favorite saying, if you can't solve a problem, enlarge it. Well, that's what he and Cheney and Bush seem intent on doing. Stuck with the insoluble problem of Iraq, they're planning on enlarging it to neighboring Iran. Not for nothing that Bush's new national security strategy, unveiled in March, cites Iran as the greatest challenge the U.S. faces. And not for nothing that Bush has been ratcheting up pressure on Iran at the United Nations. For his part, Ahmadinejad is giving Bush a hand by snubbing his nose at the UN and by saying inflammatory things like Israel should be wiped off the map. Bush loves that. It helps him lay the groundwork for an attack, which will suit his own messianic delusions. Plus, Bush covets Iran's oil and gas. The Bush bombing of Iran is not likely to happen until 2007 or 2008, but the steady drumbeat does serve crass political purposes right now. Check out Fred Barnes of the Weekly Standard. To increase Bush's popularity and to boost Republican chances in November, Barnes said the place to start is Iran. Thus, Rovian politics go hand in hand with Rumsfeldian designs. There is, of course, an obvious defect in Rumsfeld's dictum. Sometimes when you enlarge a problem, you just get a bigger mess on your hands. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it. I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
Birch Radio program. It's about almost 40 minutes after the hour here on the Head On Radio Network. You know, we've been talking about a lot of different things. Mike Malloy has been again the biggest topic of the day. And I got to tell you, you know, the last caller made a very good point, and that is that it appears, or you know, she didn't actually say this, but I'm going to take her comment a step further. Creative license. That's why they pay me the big bucks. Yeah. Right. Creative license. And that would be that, you know, whenever corporatism gets in the place of modifying your speech, we've given up the First Amendment to our Constitution. Voluntarily. No, government hasn't abridged it, but you know what? I think there needs to be a lawsuit in place to try to make the corporate people understand that on a publicly accessible medium, you cannot censor a host except for, you know, whatever the seven dirty words are, and allow them to express views no matter how interesting those views may be. I don't know. Maybe Mike will be the pioneer in that area. I'd like to see that happen. Let's go straight over to our good friend Jim from an undisclosed location in the wild, wonderful hills of the North American continent. Jim, top of the day to you, sir. I think Jim's sleeping. Yep, I hear snoring. Let's put Jim back on hold. See if you guys can raise him. I'm glad he's getting some good sleep out of this anyway. Let's go straight over to Wayne then. Wayne, how are you doing this afternoon?
Good, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm awake.
You're well. That's real important if you're going to be on the radio.
I think so. I'm thinking that's probably, you know, out of the top five things that you should be if you're going to be on the radio, awake is definitely at the top of the list.
I would put that at number one also, you know, number one also.
What's going on today, man?
Well, you know, I'm just, you know, one of my, you know, there's a very important day coming up Monday.
Absolutely.
And
you're absolutely right. And let's talk about it. Tell me what's on your mind about Monday, Wayne.
Well, I was talking about my birthday, Bruce. I don't want
to. Oh, you're right. Is your birthday on Labor Day, man?
Yes, it is, man. As a matter of fact, it is.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic. Well, happy birthday to you. I don't know whether we're going to be on or not. I think we will be. I'm certainly hoping we will be.
Well,
but listen,
it is my birthday, but I did want to talk about Labor Day, which is far more important than my birthday. But I find it kind of ironic, the business that I'm in, that I was born on Labor Day. I like that. I like that a lot, you know. But I have a quote here. It says, labor was the first price, the original purchase money that was paid for all things. It was not by gold or by silver, but by labor that all wealth of the world was originally purchased. And that is Adam Smith. And nothing can be truer. Labor built this country. Labor built
Absolutely.
The middle class. And labor has been, I won't say it, but it starts with an S and, you know, on. And these people that are currently in control of our government and country are the most anti-labor. And I'm not just talking labor unions. I'm talking working people. These are the most anti-working people that have ever, that have run this country in my 62 years. And,
ever since the robber barons, man. These guys, they're the new age robber barons, exactly.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, these guys go above and beyond, you know. I mean, had some excuse that there weren't any taxes.
Exactly, and you know what makes it so crazy is that they're not only trying to crush any sort of organization that the working people can have, but they're also trying to crush their incomes and crush themselves. I mean, it's almost like they want to create such a wide chasm between the haves and have-nots that they're intentionally trying to bring about some sort of revolution. And believe you me, Wayne, I certainly do believe that in this that it could happen here. That if that chasm gets too wide, you'll definitely see, there'll definitely be some sort of actions that'll happen because, that's just the natural, this is the natural order of things.
It is. I see it happening. Just in my line of business, there are more people approaching us, people from organized labor, than has happened for quite a while. I mean, people are seeking us out. People are getting sick and tired of, absolutely no respect whatsoever. And organizations and, people that hire people are, they're like numb to what real working people do and want. And they think they could just continue to pile on and cheat and steal from them. And the working people are starting to wake up, and, I couldn't be happier, and it's about time, because if we don't start standing up, then
You're
revolution
absolutely
right. will be the only thing left. And,
I assume
we didn't go to that. But if we do, what side I'll
we do,
be on,
it,
brother?
It,
on the front
yes,
line,
I
too.
Do.
You know, if you need a point man, put me out there,
I can see you now. We'll call you Colonel Wayne, all right? You can be a colonel, okay?
Okay, that'd be cool. Generals are,
generals sit back in the back and they get the fat ass thing going on.
Right.
The colonels are generally at least closer to the front anyway, tell me about Wayne, I'm sure you probably know this. Tell me about the history of Labor Day. How did it come about?
Oh, God, you got to throw that away. Actually, I'm trying to think. The guy that Gumpus, and I can't even think of his first name. He was very instrumental in starting the Carpenters Union. Mm-hmm. What was his first name?
Let's see.
Daggone it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But, you know, they started organizing carpenters and workers and building trade people, and they proposed Labor Day. And, you know, believe me, I've read the history 100 times, but I can't bring it all up right at this time. Give me a break, man.
I'll read.
Be 62.
Okay, well, I'll read you a really quick.
Alzheimer's probably starting to set in and all that jazz.
Old timers, right?
Yeah.
I'll read you a quick paragraph of the history of Labor Day. Then. How about that? So I'll read you a little quick paragraph of the history of Labor Day. How about that?
Okay, go for it.
The origins of the American Labor Day can be traced back to the Knights of Labor in the United States and a parade organized by them on September the 5th, 1882 in New York City. They were inspired by an annual labor parade held in Toronto, Canada. In 1884, another parade was held and the Knights passed resolutions to make this an annual event. Other labor organizations, but notably the affiliates of the International Working Men's Association, favored a May 1st holiday. But with the event of the Chicago's Haymarket riots in early May 1886, President Grover Cleveland believed that a May 1st holiday could become an opportunity to commemorate the riots. Thus, fearing that it might strengthen the socialist movement, he quickly moved in 1887 to support the position of the Knights of Labor and their date for Labor Day. And it has been celebrated on the first Monday in September in the United States since that time. Hmm.
Very good. The first Monday.
First Monday in September, okay. Which happens to be your birthday.
Yeah, it does.
So you're going to be what? 40.
It's not always
going to be 42,
Labor Day,
right?
See, because they switched that, but you know.
Right.
I was.
So you're going to be like, you're going to be like what? 42, Wayne?
Yeah. Yep. That's real close. I'm looking
fantastic.
For a 42-year-old woman.
All right, now we're not going. The Bruce Burns Radio Program is not a Match.com.
Oh,
right?
This is it? Well, you know, I figure. Listen, man, you're going to D.C., aren't you?
Oh yeah.
To Camp Democracy.
Yes, sir, I am.
I'm going to see you over there.
All right. Well,
I figured there'd be a lot of old hippies over there and stuff. You know. I mean, hell, I might run into some people that I used to know a few years ago.
You may, well.
Never know, you know. I wished I could grow my hair long again, but,
well, just get a wig, man. You know, just get one of
those
big...
Somebody else suggested that to me. You know, I told them, I'll just wear a headband and my worst president ever T-shirt, you know, so, you know,
And you'll fit right in.
I believe so. We'll probably see more than one of those. But I'm excited about that.
I really am.
I mean, because it's all part of what's happening. I really think there is an awakening, you know, not just in the labor movement, but, you know, in the population in general. I mean, you know, well, I believe, no, I don't know if you gave it to me, but, you know, I've got a sticker in the back of my window that says, you know, had enough, vote Democrat in 06. And,
no, I didn't give you one, but I had one to give you, and you already had one.
That's exactly right. Okay. I know you're a generous man, Bruce, but, you know, I'd rather see somebody get it that didn't have one. I don't need
to. Well, and that's exactly what happened. So.
And it's, I think some great things are going to happen here, but, you know, we cannot take anything for granted, you know. I mean, you know, be encouraged by the polls, but don't think that means you could just sit back and wait for it to happen. That's going to happen because working people are going to get out there and work and get out the vote and talk to their neighbors and talk to their relatives and tell them, you know, we don't need these little single issue things to divide us, like gun rights and abortions. You know, those are those are personal things that are between you and your God, and, you know, you guys figure that out. What we have to do is stand up for working people. And, you know, well, Bob Kincaid has said it many times. If you get a paycheck, you're a working person. And, you know, if you want to guard that paycheck and try to get more and more benefits, and, you know, we have to start standing together, and we have to get rid of these bums that are running our country. I mean, these people
Well,
they're dangerous. They're absolutely dangerous.
They really are, Wayne. And you know, the reality of it is that we can have all those debates, all the debates that we want within the party once we get power. But until then, you know, all the debates we can all those debates are meaningless and empty and serve no purpose until we get the seat of power.
That's exactly right. And then, if in fact we are fortunate enough to do that, then we get to hold the Democrats 100% responsible, because then they
no excuse. Large fire.
Right.
Feet large fire. Hold feet too.
Exactly.
Wayne, I've got another person waiting online that I want to get to before we close the show, but I really appreciate your call, and always great to talk with you, my friend.
Well, listen, I'm looking forward to seeing you.
I am too. We're gonna go have a good time. Maybe throw an egg on the White House lawn or something.
We
get arrested for that probably.
I mean, how far is the mall away from there?
From the White House?
Yeah.
Probably about as you're walking, maybe an eighth of a mile, something like that.
Hell, even old as I am, I could probably make it that far.
All right, man. Listen, you have a great weekend, and hopefully we'll see you Monday.
Okay, man. Happy Labor Day.
Thank
everybody.
You. Thank you. You too. And happy birthday.
All right, man.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye now. And that's our good friend Wayne from West Virginia, Mr. Labor Man himself. Let's go straight over to Dave from Eureka on line two real quickly. Dave, what's going on? How are you doing today?
Well, Bruce, I love your show. I don't want to call too often and become a fixture. But you had said something earlier that I thought somebody else would call in on it, because everything's been so quiet, so secretive. Everybody's gagged on this Mike Malloy thing. But you had indicated you either heard from him directly or indirectly that he thinks he has been terminated because he wasn't dancing to the AAR tune. Did I get that right?
Yeah, what you heard me say, I said a couple of things. The first thing that I said was that he had indicated during an interview, based on what I was reading in the chat room during the interview and a transcript that I read later. I didn't get to listen to it because I was actually on the air at the time. But he was on an interview with Christine Kraft out of Sacramento, California.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And during the interview, he did indicate that he felt that the reason why he was terminated was because of his views on 9/11, on what happened there, and because of his views on, or you know, some of his Israeli comments, not specifically Israeli comments, but some of what he had talked about during the Israeli Lebanon conflict, and I also another what I and I additionally to that what I also said was that I had it from a source that knows some of the same people that Mike knows who you know basically verified that same claim. So you know, that's what appears to have happened.
Yeah, well, I think that's what we all suspected. On his own site, he had indicated that Peter Werby is going to be covering for him, that he likes and respects Peter, and not to take it out on him, that he's in a bad spot and that there's nothing he can do about it. So that he had added, but he didn't give us a clue on his own site what his own fears or suspicions were. But
well, anyway, and you know, I can only speculate as to why he hasn't put anything in writing, but, you know, nonetheless, that seems to be what the situation is.
Yeah, well, you'd probably like to get an official statement from the powers that be there at the radio station, at AAR. Anyway, I do love your program, and I really hope you'll be able to keep it up and become a voice for people that need to hear a little free speech in this country.
I hear you. Well, I'm doing my best to keep it up, my friend. I have no plans to do anything different. So.
You're much appreciated.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Dave. I really do appreciate that. And you know, you are too, my friend. So
well,
glad you're joining. Thank you for joining us today.
I always enjoy you. Take care.
Take care. And that's our good friend Dave from Eureka, California. Dave, he says he doesn't want to be a fixture. Too late. You're already a fixture. And we like for people to become fixtures here. We like for you to call that. We like, you know, because this is, you know, we're building something, a little something here that's, it's called Conversation Radio here on the Horn. But the reality is that we're building community. And you know something? All the way across our progressive community, whether you're listening to me on radiopower.org or whether you're listening to me live on the Head On Radio Network or whether you're listening to me archived from the White Rose Society, guess what? We're building a community. And that community includes all of us. So we have to work together, because if we don't work together, then what are we doing? We're doing we're eating our own. We cannot do that. We can't do that. Be respectful. Love your neighbor, you know? Treat everyone you see with respect. You never know when that person might be the one to come along and save your life. And today's show, I'm really happy. I'm really happy today. This was a fantastic show. Thank you, all of you who participated. It's been fantastic and wonderful and building community and talking with you and hearing from new listeners. You know, I really dig it, man. I'm glad you guys are all aboard with me and joining me and listening to the show and participating. The radio program today was produced at the Head On Radio Network studios in West Virginia by Zach Rebich. Telephone screener was Lorelei Kincaid. Thank you, Lorelei. Thank you, Zach. You guys are fan-freaking-tastic. We love you. John Fox of Sydney, Australia, is the announcer of this radio program, as well as the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network. John, you rock. I know you're listening. also want to thank Gene from Oregon, who is our chief Head On Headlines news blogger, and wonderful job that he does at headonradionetwork.com in posting all of our show posts and putting up the news. Thank you, Gene, so much. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. Also would like to thank Ben Birch of the White Rose Society for managing this stream and for archiving all of the shows on the Head On Radio Network. Thank you, Ben. You again are a gentleman and a scholar and the hardest working man in liberal talk. Also want to thank Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services, Tallahassee, Florida, for being the guy who keeps the bits and the bytes streaming and the network there. Also want to thank Shelby LaPre of the Radio Power Network for carrying this program every morning from 8 to 10, Tuesday through Friday. Huge, huge props to her for what she does to help carry the progressive message. And last but not least, the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're supporting this program and all the programs on the Head On Radio Network, and for that, they deserve mad props, too. They rock. They're building the American dream, and by supporting this program, and they're helping us to take it back from those crazy, crazy cons who are trying to steal it away. And last but not least, listeners, thank you for joining me this afternoon for another edition of the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Join me next week when we talk about whatever it is on your mind. Thanks for joining me, and remember, folks, it's your democracy.